Hello, I'm Nick Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. I want to thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast today. You know, Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. And through this weekly broadcast, Cross Church is able to share a time of praise and worship, as well as a time of studying God's Word with people from all walks of life. I want to thank you today again for tuning in, and please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our four regional campuses. Come be a part of our friendly, compassionate family known as Cross Church. So if you would, go to crosschurch.com to learn more about our church, and we hope that you'll join us very soon. Happy New Year, everybody. We are so glad that you are here at church today. We're just a few days into 21 days of prayer, and I know sometimes this gets lost around the holidays, and so some of you may have not jumped in right in on board with us on January 1st. My encouragement to you is this: just jump in today and have 16 days of prayer with us. We set aside this time every January for intentional prayer and fasting before the Lord. Some of you may want to do a full fast from food, maybe fast from a meal a day, do something like a Daniel fast where you only eat fruits and vegetables, or maybe not fast at all. Maybe you just pray. But I tell you this, there's power in prayer and fasting. This year, we have focused on identifying one stronghold in your life that is hindering your walk with the Lord. That's the focus of 21 days. And today we begin a brand new series called Tearing Down Strongholds. Tearing down strongholds. That may be a foreign concept to some of you, and after today, you might even change the thing that you're praying about when you have a greater understanding about what a real spiritual stronghold is. It's a great place to start. What is a stronghold? Let me do my best to define it. A stronghold is ground that has been taken by the enemy, whereby he regularly shoots attacks from that place. Max Lucado references strongholds as old, difficult, discouraging challenges. That's a pretty good word. Oftentimes, a stronghold is something that Satan did in your past that constantly rears its ugly head in the present. Johnny Hunt, who preached here just a few weeks ago, wrote a book entitled Demolishing Strongholds. It'd be a great book for you to read while we're in these 21 days of prayer. In it, he defines a stronghold this way. A stronghold is any habit that got a hold of you. It is an enemy fortress erected in your home territory from which your foe may launch attacks behind your defenses whenever he chooses. If you give a place to the devil, he says, you will allow him to build a strong fortress deep within your territory. Now, much of the time, strongholds are of our own making. We gave in to sin, and that allowed Satan to build a stronghold at some point in our life. And only you can make a tangible decision to deal with the strongholds in your life. No one else can do it for you, and you can't do it for somebody else. This is a you and God kind of deal, and it all begins by doing one thing, by looking in the mirror. Now, if you have a Bible today, I want you to grab it and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to walk through this chapter over the next several weeks together. And what we're going to talk through over the next 3 weeks are three declarations for these 21 days. I believe these will apply to your life throughout these 21 days, but in all reality, way beyond this season and into any season of your life. Here's the three declarations for 21 days of prayer. Number one, so what we're going to talk about today, I am the biggest problem in my spiritual life. You recognize that about yourself and about your life? I am the biggest problem in my spiritual life. Next week, we're going to talk about this simple declaration. I need the power of God to overcome my stronghold. Do you realize that today? Number three, I know the only path to sustained victory is through consistent obedience to Jesus. That's where we'll end 21 days of prayer. Now, we've entitled today's message, Waging War Against Yourself. The only way to begin is to look in the mirror and ask the tough questions today. It is the heart of the psalmist in Psalm 139, 23, and 24 when he wrote this, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's our heart today. And would you allow God to make that your heart and your prayer? Let's pray together, and then our pastors are going to pick up the message from here. Lord Jesus, would you search our hearts? Would you allow us to look in the mirror today, ask tough questions about our life? And would you help us to wage war on the sin which so easily entangles us? We ask for victory today, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church, and happy new year to you. Everybody doing well? It's great to see you. Nick did a fantastic job on that video of setting up where we are headed to begin the new year, where we're headed during this 21 days of prayer, right? So if, like he said, if it slipped up on you and we're already 5 days into the year, join us. Just jump on board and join us. And what we're doing to this year to kind of help you with your 21 days is we're packaging the three Sundays that fall inside of the 21 days of prayer. We're packaging three Sundays together to help you really focus on you, to focus on your life, on your relationship with God. And so the title of this series, as we've said, is Tearing Down Strongholds. So if you're ready, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, so find your way over there. If you want to sign up for extra credit, we are going to also jump over to Romans 8 and also James chapter 1. So we'll get there eventually if you kind of want to bookmark that or thumb mark it or whatever. But let me begin asking this question. What is the stronghold in your life? What is the stronghold in your life? And let me just caveat by saying this. We've all got them. Everybody has something. That's one of my favorite phrases, is everybody has something. Like, that can be an encouragement if you ever are at a point where you're like, man, nobody's got what I got. Well, listen, everybody got something, right? We all carry baggage. We all have something. And we all have stronghold. And a stronghold, as Nick kind of unpacked it for us, a stronghold is a tower that has been erected by the evil one in your life. Like, it is territory. If you think of your life as territory, it's a small plot of land in the territory of your life where you have allowed the evil one, the devil, to come into your life and build something, right? To build a tower, a fortress. And so there's a lot in that statement. Let me say that I do believe in the devil. I believe he is a real being. He has a name. His name is Satan. And he is seeking to infiltrate your life. He wants to destroy your life. And he does it in such a cunning way. He doesn't ask for all of your life. He didn't ask for the whole thing. He wants just a tiny piece of it. Just a little plot. A lot, if you will, of land. And if you'll give him that, boom, he'll throw down a brick. And then he'll throw down another brick. And then another one. Next thing you know, he'll build right in the middle of your life a stronghold. So this is all about identifying those strongholds, tearing them down so that you can find freedom from that. Some of you in here have been carrying and dealing with a stronghold in your life for years, even decades. And so let this 21 days, let this be the moment that victory began to occur in your life. Amen? So we've all got them. The question now is, what is that? So the title of today's message is Waging War Against Yourself. We're going to kind of dig into that. And you got to really follow along the next couple of weeks because we're going to build. Everything builds on it, all right? So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The entire series is going to be the first six verses. So today, it's verses 1 through 3. Next week, we're going to look at one verse, verse 4. The final week, we'll look at verses 5 and 6. So let's look at verses 1 through 3 today. I want to start off with verses 1 and 2. Put it on the screen. Let's follow along. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to a church. Maybe not so unlike our church, right? And so let's go and look at what he writes to the church. He says, I, Paul, verse 1, I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away. I beg of you that when I'm present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. I want to press time out here for a moment. And let me kind of just set up what's going on, where we're at, what Paul's dealing with, all right? So Paul, as I said, he's writing a letter to a church, not just any church. This is a church that he planted. So Paul was an itinerant preacher. He moved around. And he was a church planter, and he planted lots of churches all over Asia Minor and the Near East, Middle East. And then as he left them, he would begin to write letters back to them. He didn't have a chance to stay there very long to teach them everything he wanted to teach them about the Lord. So he would write letters back to them to disciple them, to encourage them, to teach them. And so we have two of those letters to the church at Corinth. It's pretty cool. Kind of get to look on the inside, look at what he's saying to these churches. But here's the deal. He's not with them anymore, and so he can't be there in person. And what has happened is that people tend to just be people. Doesn't matter if it's 2,000 years ago or if it's today. People are people. And there's a group of people in the church who've kind of risen up, and they're kind of pushing back on Paul. And what they're doing is they're accusing Paul of being two-faced. And you know, things didn't move as fast back then as they do today. You know, like today things move at the speed of Twitter, but back then it was a little slower. But nevertheless, Paul figured out what was going on. He heard what was going on. So he's dealing with it. And he's being accused of being two-faced. And what people are saying about Paul, they're saying, look at this guy, Paul. Man, when he's here with us in person, he's like a softy. Like he's all squishy and soft and he's nice. But man, when he gets away and he starts writing these letters to us, he's like letting us have it, man. He's just like, he didn't have the courage to say to our face what he really thinks. So he's like pulling back on the throttle whenever he's with us. And we can sort of get that in our culture today, right? You know, with social media. We've talked about that before, how some people will say things on social media they would never say to your face. So he's kind of being accused of that. But here's the difference. The difference is this. Paul is not two-faced. And what Paul is trying to do when he's with them in person, what he's trying to do is be pastoral. Like he wants to be intentionally soft with them if he can be in person, because he wants to be their pastor. But when he's not with them, there's things that just have to be said. Like things have to be said. And he's not, here's the difference. He's not above saying these things face to face if he has to. I sort of get this. You know, I'm a preacher of the Word of God. That's one of the things that I do. It's one of the things that I am. And so, you know, periodically I stand behind this pulpit. I open my Bible. And I preach. And what you see here at times is hard. Sometimes I can be loud. I can be strong. I can be forceful. But like if I'm not behind the pulpit and I'm down like just hanging out with you, I'm not quite like this when I'm just face to face, right? And that's not because I'm two-faced. It's just because when I'm in one-on-one, I don't have to yell. You know, and when it's one-on-one, I want to be pastoral. But if I have to say, you know, what Paul, he says it in verse 2. He says, I beg you that when I'm present, I don't have to be. What he's saying is, listen, don't make me come down there. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, when I'm with you, I don't want there to be stuff to deal with. I just want to be pastoral. But listen, if you won't let me come down there, I'll do that, but don't make me come down there. You know, I really don't want to be like that when I'm with you, right? And so this is a really great lead. For those of you in here who are leaders, this is a great leadership principle we see modeled in Paul's life. He is the kind of leader, he is able to measure up where people are, and he's able to be and give them what they need in the moment. That's a mark of really great leadership, is you can know your people, and if you need to be soft, you're soft. If you need to be hard, you're hard. But you can adjust and give the folks what they need, right? And so that's really what we see happening here. And so with all of that kind of as a setup, you come to verse 3. Verse 3 is the key for today, all right? So let's look at verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul continues. He says, For though we walk in the flesh, and that's a real key term there, flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Key verse, as I said, key focal point. What Paul is saying here is this. He's saying, listen, whatever your stronghold is in your life, a stronghold in your life, it is not going to be destroyed according to the flesh. You need to follow it. You hear that? Whatever you're dealing with in your life, it's not going to be destroyed and wiped out according to the flesh. So like with this 21 days of prayer that we're in, listen, as you're praying through it, your stronghold, it is not going to fall with more effort. It's not going to be like, if I just do more, if I just try harder. If that is how you are approaching the stronghold in your life, wrong. That's not how the stronghold. We are told here that we do not wage war according to the flesh. What Paul is going to basically say here is that instead we wage war against the flesh. Like the flesh is the issue for Paul. Like we are the issue. I am the issue, all right? And so it's not more of me that's going to fix me, right? But I am the issue. There was a famous preacher generation ago. His name's D.L. Moody. You may know the name. Some of you may know the name. D.L. Moody, from the mid-1800s to the late 1800s. He was an incredible evangelist. He pastored a church in Massachusetts, a great revivalist. D.L. Moody was famous for saying the following. Look at this quote on the screen. I've had more problems with D.L. Moody than with any other man. Look at that truth. It's such a truth. You know, when we look at a stronghold in our life, our tendency is to want to try to find somebody else to point the finger at. This ain't about your wife, man. It's not about your kids or your parents or your boss or your pastor or your friends. Right. This is not about all. This really at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, at the middle of the day, it's really all about you. You know, you are your greatest problem. Jeff Crawford's greatest problem is Jeff Crawford. It's me. And did you catch the three declarations that Nick gave us on the screen, like in the video? There's three declarations, and that first declaration that we're honing in on is I am my biggest spiritual problem. I am the biggest problem in my spiritual life. It's me. It's me. And so the Bible really gets into all that. The Bible talks a lot about flesh, and the Bible talks a lot about the spirit, and we need to have a real good understanding of that this morning. So let me give you, let's get some definitions out there, some working definitions. When we talk about the flesh, what exactly are we talking about? Let me tell you what we're talking about. First of all, when we talk about the flesh, we're talking about your body. We are. We're talking about your body, first of all, your flesh, your bones, your muscle, the skin, your hands, your feet, your body is your flesh, and it's got certain desires that lead to certain pathways. So when we talk about the flesh, we are talking about your body, first of all. We're also talking about your old life. We're talking about your old life. We're talking about your life before Jesus. Like before Jesus, your life was really defined by you doing what you want to do all the time, taking care of you. It's really a you kind of thing. And that works together with the body, which is also the flesh. And so here's the deal. The flesh is your body. It's your old life. And it's controlled by sinful desire. That's what it is. It's controlled by sinful desire. And so you got to be careful what you feed the flesh, because your flesh is going to be going after things that on its own just aren't good for it. Like for instance, I've got a real hang up right now with ding dongs in my life. I'm really into Hostess ding dongs. And so I have to, my flesh, my body really likes them right now. And so when I ask my wife to bring a box home, I have to be really careful, right? I'm also really into chocolate covered peanut brittle because of the holidays. And my favorite is from Silver Dollar City. They got this candy store there. It's like really a den of iniquity is what it is. But anyway, but the good news is they're closed for the season. I did stock up with three bags at home to hold me over to March. But anyway, I got to be careful because, and it's a silly illustration, but it's the truth. I mean, nothing wrong with eating a little bit, but there comes a point that it becomes sin, right? I mean, too much, right? Like excess. And so, and the point is this: our bodies desire things that aren't good for us. They cry out for that. And if we listen to that completely and only that and walk down that road, well, that's called living in the flesh, right? My hands want to touch things they shouldn't touch. My eyes want to look at things they shouldn't look at. I mean, you see how this works, right? So that's the flesh. Then there's what's called the spirit. So when we talk about the spirit, what are we talking about? And very simply, the spirit is your new life. If the flesh is your old life, the spirit is your new life after Jesus. So the flesh is before Jesus, the spirit is after Jesus, and it has nothing to do with this body, because this body's going away. This body's going to die. This body's going to decay. So the new life has nothing to do with this new body, right? This old body. I'm going to get a new body one day, but not this body, right? So the spirit right now is this new life. And let me tell you what drives the spirit. What drives the spirit is a desire, not for sin, but a desire to obey Jesus. And that very simply is the flesh and the spirit. So taking all of that, I want to jump over to Romans chapter 8. I told you we'd go there. In Romans 8, Paul, same guy that wrote Corinth to the Corinthians, he wrote another letter to another church in Rome. And boy, does he get to it in this letter. Let me read to you verses 5 through 9 and just let him speak like he can speak, right? Paul says this: "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, and to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Anybody in here could use a little life and peace today? Like, if that's you today, listen, the pathway to that is not your flesh. The pathway to life and peace is the spirit, right? So let's continue on. Verse 7, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, he's writing to a church. Could be our church. So like you guys on the wing over here and across the balcony and down this wing and right through here, this section, and all along the back, you, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If," look at that word, "if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you," does it? "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." I told you, man, Paul can be bold, man. He can say it if he needs to say it, and he does say it. And it's so, this is one of the clearest passages in the Bible in terms of what is he trying to say? Like what more is there to say? If I were to like summarize it, because there's a lot there, basically the flesh, look at this on the screen, the flesh, it leads to death. It's hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God, and it cannot please God. That's bad stuff. Flesh is bad, right? The spirit, let's keep this simple. The spirit, simple. It dwells in believers and it leads to life. Nice and simple. And so let's just keep it real simple. I want to give you a statement here, what I would call Bible complexity in plain English. All right? Let's just keep it real simple here. Bible complexity in plain English. The flesh leads me to do what I want to do. The spirit leads me to do what God wants me to do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But listen to me. As you look at that, I want you to listen to me. Because I want you to remember the title of today's message: Waging War Against Yourself. Because here's the deal. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've said yes to Jesus, you're stepping onto a battlefield. And that battlefield really involves you. Because here's how the flesh starts to work now. The flesh leads me to do what I want to do. But now there's this part of me that doesn't want to do it. And I find myself doing things I don't want to do. Can anybody in here testify to that? Right? And so Paul is like right there with you, brother. So like we're in Romans 8, but if you step back one chapter to Romans 7, look at what Paul says. Look at it on the screen. Paul says this, "For I do not understand my own actions." Can I get a word here? "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Has anybody in this room ever been there before? It's like I did something because I wanted to do it, and then I realized I didn't want to do it. And then I keep doing it, even though I don't want to do it. And I hate the thing I'm doing, even though I like doing it. And you know what that's called? It's called a war with yourself. You're waging war against, and what we got to do today is recognize the war and fight the battle. Let's jump to another passage, James. My last stopping point in the Bible for today, the book of, so James was the half-brother of Jesus. You know, Jesus had brothers and sisters, but they were half-brothers. So the Jesus' parents were Mary, and Mary was conceived miraculously by the Holy Spirit. So God, that's why God is his father, right? So Joseph was Jesus' earthly adoptive type father, not biological. But Joseph and Mary had other children. James was one of them. So James and Jesus are half brothers. So I think James knows a little bit about his brother Jesus. And in James chapter 1, verse 14, James talks about this. Look at verse 14 on the screen. James says this, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Remember I talked about how the flesh desires things that aren't good for it, right? Right? And so I want you to, you know, look at the lingo here. As I was looking at the language of James 1:14 about being lured and enticed, I couldn't help but think about my good old tackle box. Didn't you? Right? So in my garage, I went out to my garage this weekend, and I pulled out my tackle. I'm not a big fisherman. I'm really not. But I've got a tackle box. And inside of this tackle box, and look at this. Isn't that cool? Opens up into three trays. A little fancy there. It's just from my garage, though. Inside of here, I've got all kinds. I've got power bait. I got worms. But I was talking to the best fisherman I know on our staff team, Keith Harmon, at our Spring DeKalb campus. He's our small groups pastor. He was looking through here, and he pulled these out today, and he said, "Now this is the trick right here. This right here, ladies and gentlemen, I'm holding in my hand, is the Renegade Pro Series. It contains 2 6-inch twirl tail worms, right? And so here's the deal. You know, fish don't do a lot. They swim, they eat, they procreate, and that's about it, right? And so they're swimming around, and their desire is for food, right? And so, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, look at that, one of these things comes floating, and I know that doesn't look very good to you, but you're not a fish, right? If all you're eating is minnows and like scum off the bottom of the lake, and then all of a sudden you see the Golden Corral floating by, you know what I'm saying? And so this is called a lure, right? Why is it called a lure? Because that's what it does. It entices. It lures, you know, and that fish is swimming along, and here comes Ruth Chris, you know, and what he doesn't know is that there's a hook in here. And it's crazy, but that bass will just swallow this thing whole, and somewhere on the other end of a line is going to be a fisherman. Is going to feel that, and he's going to like boom, yank that thing, and he's going to set the hook. And at that point, you've got dinner at your house. That's great for you. It's called death for the fish. And you see how it works? His desire enticed him. And then he was lured. See how that works? James 1:14. Ronald Blue, Christian author Ronald Blue, says this, talking about all of this. He says, "A person both builds and baits his own trap." That's what's called waging war against yourself. James 1:15, if you jump one more verse from James. James says, then desire, when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. Just like that fish with the hook that's set and lands on your dinner table tonight, right? What you've got with the book of James, verses 14 and 15, it shows us really clearly how this war works, how this flesh thing works, like the progression of it. Let me put it on the screen for you. You've got desire, which your flesh has desire. And what desire does, it leads and it lures you to temptation. And then you've got temptation, which conceives and it brings forth and gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it's fully grown, it brings forth death. Like it's so clear, isn't it? Like the scripture is so clear and so clear on the screen. But here's the deal. Most of us never think about this. Most of us never think about this for all kinds of reasons, because sometimes that process happens really fast. It happens so fast from the desire to the, it happens so fast you don't even realize it's gone. It's over with before you can know what's going on. Sometimes we don't realize what's happening because it happens so slowly. Like the frog in the kettle with the heat turned on real slow, and you don't realize you're in trouble until you're boiling, right? And what you have then at the end of it is death. Now listen. Are you going to be tempted? Yes. Are you at times going to sin? Yes. The scripture's not saying that is not going to happen. What it's saying, though, is if you find yourself coming back over and over and over again, where the sin grows and it becomes fully grown, right? And you find yourself repeating that stronghold in your life where you just come back over and over and you keep adding bricks to it and bricks to it. If you don't tear it down, eventually it will lead to death. And if, lest you think I'm being overly dramatic, all I can tell you is that after 25 years of doing this, I have way too many stories of death. Too many stories of financial death because of a financial stronghold in someone's portfolio or life. Too many stories of marital death. Too many stories of family death because of some stronghold that was allowed to just grow and grow and grow. Richard Ross, great, great specialist in student ministry from a generation ago. He's still around. He still writes. I want to show you a quote of his that is so good. An innocent touch. Your eyes meet a second too long, and a predictable process begins. Months later, you're divorced in a ratty apartment and your kids won't look at you. Or today you run like Joseph. Such a great quote. And he's talking about Joseph, the biblical character of Joseph, who was a pure, righteous, good young man who loved the Lord, and he found himself working in the home of a man named Potiphar. And when Potiphar would travel, Potiphar's wife had eyes for Joseph, and she tried to lure him. She tried to entice him. She spoke to his flesh, and he had a flesh like any other young man, and she tried to reach out, and he refused to take the bait. And we are told in the story, he literally ran. Like he literally ran away. That's what you must do. Because here's the deal. Everything sin touches, it destroys. You just need to know that. Sin ruins everything it touches. It is a disease. And it must be battled and fought. And that's what this 21 days is about. It's about you identifying the stronghold in your life and waging war against it. I want to give you two questions to help you identify your stronghold. But I would dare say, I mean, the questions may be helpful, but I would dare say that as I have preached this morning, you probably already have identified that stronghold. They're usually pretty obvious if you stop and look. It's like a big old tower right over there in the distance, and there it is, and you can't miss it. But if you need a little help, question number one is this. What is the number one way that you find yourself living according to the flesh? The number one way that you find yourself living, feeding your flesh, right? Second question is this. What is the root of that stronghold? Now, that's a really important question, the root. Because you really kind of got to go back to where it all began. This is really a when question. Like when did this stronghold begin in your life? When was that first brick laid down? What happened in your life? What happened that you gave up territory? You got to go back, man. You got to identify it. Got to find that moment. As our worship team heads this way to begin to kind of lead us to conclusion, I want to give you three examples of what strongholds can look like and how this can kind of play out today in terms of you waging your war, right? So one example of a stronghold could be unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Do you live in bitterness and resentment because someone in your life hurt you? That's a real thing for some people. Like they just are bitter and resentful. And so if that's your stronghold, what's the root of that? Like, who hurt you? When did they hurt you? What happened, man? What were the circumstances that surrounded that? And here's the deal. The key here is forgiveness. And here's what you must understand. The forgiveness side of it is really about your healing. Bitterness and resentment do nothing to the person that it's directed towards. But it will erode your life and eat you up. But you've got to find the root. You got to go back to when you were hurt. That's the starting point right there. Listen, the starting point for all of the strongholds is to identify them. What are they? And when do they start? Let me give you another example. Worry. Worry. This worry is like I'm just constantly worried. It's fear-based. I'm constantly afraid that something bad is going to happen in my life. It shuts me down. I just can't believe that anything good can happen. I just feel like around the next corner, I don't know what's happening in 2020, but it's not going to be good. That's called worry, man. That can be a real stronghold. So here's the question. What's the root of that? Was there a tragedy in your life, in your past? And it sort of like locked you down? Or were you raised in a home where your mom and your dad worried all the time and they kind of just piled that on you? Right? Or do you just feel unworthy that God would bless you? Some people really struggle with that. They don't believe that they are worthy of God's goodness, so that must mean that something bad's fixing to happen. You got to find the root, man. You got to go back to the source when it started. Let me give you one more example. Impurity. That could be a stronghold. Are my eyes constantly tempted to look at things or people? Or am I tempted to do things that just aren't pure? This is so big in our culture today because we live in a very impure world. So here's the root. Where's the root of that? Were you exposed to pornography when you were young or a child? Was that the first brick? Maybe you were abused. Were you abused as a young person? And you're sort of like carrying that now, and it's kind of bled over? Or maybe when you were in high school or college, you sort of just entered into some really unhealthy dating practices that have carried over into your life now in terms of impurity, you know? Or what happened? What's the root of that has left a scar in your life, right? So these are just examples. Strongholds can look like anything. But here's the money moment right now. In this 21 days of prayer, we are challenging you to attack your stronghold. So here's decision number one that you can make today to go after your stronghold. Here it is. You ready? Today, not tomorrow, today, I make a tangible decision to wage war against my flesh. I'm not going to war according to my flesh, because my flesh, I'm my biggest problem. So I'm going to attack my flesh. I'm going to wage war against my flesh. I'm going to deny my flesh. That is a decision you can make right now, today. And you say, how does that happen? It happens because you call it out, man. You just call it out. And it's not about me knowing or anybody knowing. This is, as Nick said on the video today, this is you and God. You and God, not your spouse, not your family, you and God. You call it out. God, this is my stronghold, and I'm waging war, and I need you to help me do this, God. And so this altar today is going to be open for people who want to make a tangible decision to wage war against the flesh. Don't be prideful or ashamed, because we've all got something, right? So let's just get over that part of it. You take advantage of the Spirit drawing you. Let the Spirit lead you today, not your flesh. And you surrender this stronghold to the Lord today. Make a tangible decision to fight. And then come back next week and pray in between. And we're going to walk this together. Amen? That's how this works today. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you don't even know what I'm talking about when it means living for the Spirit, today give your life to Jesus. Jesus came in the flesh. He died in the flesh so that you could be reborn in the Spirit. That's how that worked. And Jesus did die for you. So give your life to Him today and begin walking in the Spirit. Pray with me now, and then we're going to sing, and I'm going to invite you to come. Lord, this is your time. These are your people. You created each and every individual soul in this room, and we are more than our flesh. We are Spirit, and you're calling us to live a Spirit-led life. And so, God, today we deny our flesh, we attack our flesh, and we do it in the name of Jesus, because we can't do it by ourselves. And so, God, I pray for individuals and families in this room to just fall up on the altar today, calling out their stronghold and claiming its defeat in your name. And would you call lost people now? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.